We're up to Siman Reish Mem Aleph. Dine Make Umakalel Aviv V'Ima. The halachos of hitting and cursing one's parents. God forbid. So we have a number of psukim. We have a pasuk in Vayikra Perikhav. Ki ish ish hashei kalel es aviv ve'es imo. A man who curses his father and mother. Mos yumas. Yischayev Nisa. Aviv v'imo kilel damav bo. That's the entire pasuk. Whenever the Torah says damav bo, means skila. Good. Then we have the pasuk, a similar pasuk in Shmos Chaf Aleph. Umekalel aviv v'imo mos yumas.
Where was the first pasuk?
In Vayikra Perek Chaf. Why we need two pasukim? That's a good question. We're not going to discuss now. Shmos Chaf Aleph Tesvav Make Oviv V'Imo Mos Yumas. One who hits a father, literally father and a mother, but we learn how it's father or a mother, it's Chaya Misa. And then we have in Dvarim Chaf Zayin Tes Zayin by the Brachas and the Klavos and Har Grizim and Har Ebal Oror Makle Oviv V'Imo V'Amar Kala'om Amen. Cursed is the one who is makle, which Rashi explains as mezalzel, who degrades his parents. So this is something that is super duper chomer, very severe. So the Mishnah Sanhedrin Adat Nami Nun Gimel tells us, Elu hein haniskolin, gives a list of those that are chayev skila, death by stoning. And one of them is Hamakalel Aviv V'Imo, one who curses his father and mother. Now, when it comes to hitting one's parents, that's later on in Sanhedrin, Adaf Pei Dalid. Elohein HaNechnokid, these are Chayiv Chenek, death by strangulation, which is a much lighter death penalty than death by stoning. And there it says, Make Aviv V'Imo, one who hits his parents. So Rashi points out, by the cursing, that the Torah places more of a severity on cursing one's parents than hitting one's parents, which we would not expect. And Rashi explains because there's two things. One is when he curses his parents, he's, you know, obviously degrading his parents. But we're going to learn, in order to be chayav the death penalty, he has to curse his parents with the name of Hashem. So he's also saying, Hashem Shamayim Levatol. So he's really doing two things wrong. One is he's degrading his parents terribly, and he's also being Motzi Hashem Shamayim Levatol. So therefore, since it's a double trouble, he's chayiv a more severe death penalty than when he hits his parents. The Mishnah of Sanhedrin brings down a machlokis about this. One who curses his parents, Einu chayiv achi kalim b'shem. Only if he curses them with the b'shem of Hashem. But if he curses them with a kinui, which is kind of a nickname of Hashem of Hashem, so it's a machlokes. Remeir is machayev, v'chachamim potrim. Rashi explains what's a nickname of Hashem, although there seem to be differences of opinion and contradictions over here. But the list Rashi gives over there in Sanhedrin, Daf Samech Vav, is the Shem Shakai, Shem Tzvakos, as well as Chanun and Rachum, which are nicknames of Hashem. The Torah brings down, one who curses his parents with a kinui, a nickname of Hashem, he violates a lav, he's not chayiv misa, he's passing like the chachamim, not like a mayor, and it's like cursing echad misa, it's like cursing your friend, you're also not allowed to curse your friend. So the Bach explains, it's not exactly like cursing one's friend, if one curses his friend, he's over one lav. If one curses his parents, he's over two lav. What's the prohibition of cursing one's friend? This is discussed in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Chav Zayit. One who curses his friend with Shem Hashem, or with a kinui, or even with an English name, a name that the Goyim referred to Hashem, he's Chayev Makis for cursing his friend. What's the pasuk? Lo sekalel cherech. The Torah says, do not curse a deaf person. Now, a deaf person doesn't hear you cursing. He's not insulted. He doesn't hear you. So, if there's a Torah prohibition not to curse a deaf person, so certainly to curse someone who can hear you and who will be hurt by your words, it's certainly prohibited. Okay, so let's see that inside. Reish mem aleph aleph. Hamakalel aviv o ima, one who curses his father or his mother. Afilu la'achar misasa, that's learned out from the pasuk, even after they've passed away. If he curses his parents, chayiv skila, he's still chayiv skila, even though his parents are gone. If he curses his mother or his father, imhu be'edim asra. Obviously, we only give a death penalty if there is edim and asra, witnesses and warning. Echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha shekilelu. It doesn't matter if it's a son or a daughter that's cursed his parents. He's going to be chayiv misa in times of where there was a bais hamikdash and a bez din and edim asra. And he curses them with one of the special names of Hashem. Yukevavke, Elokim, Kel, the names that we're familiar with. But if he curses them with a kinui, which is like a nickname of Hashem, and the Shach brings down from the Rashi over here, Shach Sivkot and Aleph, Kagon Shakai, Tzivakos, Chanun, Verachum, Ein ochayev ela belav, says the Shulchan Aruch.
Kale is a shame.
Kale is a real shame. Oh. If he goes with a kinoi, ein ochayev ela belav, he's only over in a lav, kamo hamakalo echa mi Yisrael, as one who would curse any other Jew. And the Shach sends us the Chosh and Mishmat Siman Chav Zayin, where this halacha appears. And again, the Bach just pointed out, he's not Chayav Misa, but it's not like cursing his friend. Cursing his friend is one lav. Cursing his parents, even if it's not with Shem Hashem, the kinoi will be two lav. Okay, that's the first half of Sif Aleph. Now, the second half of Sif Aleph, which is the Ramah, talks about hitting one's parents. So that we said, hitting one's parents is in the list of nechnokin, death by strangulation. Because the pasuk says, most yumas. Whenever the Torah says stam misa, it means chene. When it says damav bo, dmeyam bam, it refers to skila. Then the Gemara in Sanhedrin, adaf pehe, says that one who hits his parents, eino chayev achiyase ben chabura. This is famous. He's only chayav misa if he gives his parents a wound. He makes them bleed, a black and blue mark, which is basically the blood left the capillaries, and he made a wound. Then, the Mishnah goes on to say, Zechomer hamakalel bin b'maka, shehamakalel achar misa chayav, that's what we saw. One who curses his parents even after they've died, he's chayav misa for that. The one who hits his parents after Misa, after they've died, is going to be Potter. Okay. Now, there is a lav to hit your friend. They don't emphasize this to kids, maybe because they're not going to be able to live up to it. But when we have a person who's chayav makos, he ate a kazayas of pig, he was warm, two witnesses, he's chayav makos. How many makos? The pasuk says, arba'im yakenu, 40 makos, we do 39 makos. And the pasuk says, when you're giving the guy makos, lo yosef pen yosef la'akoso, make sure, don't hit him any more than he's supposed to get hit. I mean, this is a bad guy. He ate a slice of pig in front of him. He was warned, witnesses, edim, warning, everything. He still eats the pig. He's chayav makas, don't give him an extra one. So my friend, who's a good guy, he would never even think about eating a piece of pig. I go over to him and I just give him a dead arm. I punch him in the arm, give him a black and blue mark, because I think that's funny. That's an isadaraisa. Rashi says on that pasuk, Mikan azhara lamak es chavera. And we have by Dosan Baviram fighting Moshe Rabbeinu. Rasha lamasa kereyacha. He didn't even hit me. He picked up his hand. One who's merim yad picks up his hand to his friend. He's already called a Rasha even before he hits him. Okay. So let's see that now in the Ramah. Hagah. Note. Says the Ramah. We're in Yoredeh. Reish mam aleph sif aleph. If he hits his mother or his father in their lifetime, as opposed to cursing, which is even after death. Bein ish, bein isha, doesn't matter if it's a son or a daughter. Chayavim chenek, v'chayav chenek, death by strangulation. V'davkim asu behem chabura, only if they gave the parent a wound. Avalim lo asu chabura, but if they did not give the parent a wound, eino ela b'lav, it's only a regular lav, kamo mishamake echad miyisrael, like someone who hits a regular friend. And I believe the Bach on this would also say that hitting one's friend is over on one lav. Hitting his parents without creating a wound that would warrant the death penalty, but it will be two lavim, one for hitting Stam a Jew and one for hitting the parents. Now, can the parents, the Sefer Psakim Mechuvis, Oiz Beis, his old discussion, can a parent be mochel on hitting him? The father says, give me your strongest punch. Let's go, son. Give me your strongest punch. Hit me in the arm. He's going to give his dad a black and blue mark. Ah, Baruchel. Does the father have the right to be mochel on his son hitting him and wounding him? So many hold that the son does not, the father may not be mochel on that, and it doesn't help the mochel. The son is therefore absolutely, positively forbidden from doing so. However, there are those that are lenient, and we will soon see there are cases where that leniency may come in handy. So in a regular case, Stam, the father wants to teach his son how to throw a punch. That is not a good reason for the son to hit his father and give him a wound. But there are cases where it might be necessary, which we'll see in a minute, and there will be room for some sort of leniency. So let's get there in a minute. Sif Beis. Okay, this is a Gemara in Bava Kamma. Adav Pe Vav. He kohu al ozno. He hits his father in the ear. And you see no blood. No black and blue mark. V'chersho. He made his father deaf in one ear. Chayav Misa. He's Chayav Misa for that. Why? It can't be that his father became deaf from a punch in the ear without the son making a chabura on the ear. So that, I think, is fine. Now, the way they scientifically understood it in those days, I don't know how, you know, if nowadays the modern science would agree with that. I think it's definitely logical to say hit his father in the ear, made his father deaf, he created a chabura. I mean, I would say just the deafening itself should be considered a chabura. Sounds like you need more of a chabura. But then the way it's formulated over here, the tipas dan yose bibifnim ba'ozen ba'zen is charesh. When he hit his father in the ear, must be that at least one drop of blood came out of wherever he hit him, and that drop of blood went into the ear, and that's why he became deaf, and that's why he's going to be Chayav Misa, because of that drop of blood. Okay. You look into how that's viewed nowadays. Anyway, hitting ones, giving ones, I think it's clear that there's a, I don't know why you have to say that, just making him deaf obviously created a chabur, obviously he did something inside. Okay, Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel is a very exciting sugya. This is a Gemara Sanhedrin Pei Dalet, very important. This is very important. So you get very relevant halacha l'maaseh. Yibaydu. Ben, ma'u shiyakiz dam le'oviv. Can the son draw blood from the father? The son is a doctor. He's a nurse. He wants a blood let from the father. Or do a blood test. Or do something to help his father's health. Is that permissible? Rumas na'omar b'haftu l'recha kamocha. Ramasa says, you're only forbidden to do something that you wouldn't want done yourself. Here, you're well-intentioned. The father's sick, whatever, he needs to be taken care of medically. So that should not be included in the prohibition. It should be mutter. That's Ramasa's opinion. Rav Dimi Amar, he finds a connection in the pasuk. The pasuk says, Makeh Adam and Makeh Behema. Makeh Behema Yishamen and Makeh Adam Osumas. Something like that. So there's a connection between hitting a human being and hitting an animal. When you hit the animal for a fool, you're a vet, and you have to work on the animal, obviously you're putter for what you do. You're healing the animal. So who I did? When you heal the human, you're putter. So Rav Masna and Rav Dimi come out basically and say the son is allowed to pull the tooth of the father. However, the Gemara then goes on to give two cases. Rav or Rav Papa did not let his son take a thorn out. Amar Brei de Ravina did not let his son open up a blister and take out the pus. Why? Because maybe he'll cause a chabura. He'll cause blood to come out. And even though he doesn't mean to do that, there's an iser. He's unintentionally violating something that carries with him a death penalty. It's very, very severe. Now, it's very interesting for homework. You could look in the Beis Yosef. There's a whole approach from the Ramban, which is very interesting. The Ramban actually was a doctor. And he has a whole discussion. Like, anytime a doctor works on somebody, he's taking a risk. You forget about the father. He says, why do you have to come out the father? A doctor is performing surgery. I don't know exactly what kind of surgery they had in those days, but the doctor is performing something on a patient. There's a chance that something's going to go wrong and the patient's going to die. So how could, forget it. The son can't work on the father. Maybe he'll cause a wound to the father and it's punishable by death penalty. Killing someone's also punishable by death penalty. Every time a doctor works on a patient, obviously in certain cases, there's a chance that the patient's going to die. So what are you going to say? Maybe the doctor's chayavisa, so he can't do it? Obviously you don't say that. The Ramban says that the Torah gives permission to the doctor to do his thing. So he wants to say you don't have to worry about it. Anyway, the question is how to understand the Gemara, because the first two answers in the Gemara seem to say the son can work on the father. And then the two cases, the two examples, or the two stories brought down in the Gemara, is that the Amoran did not let their sons work on them. So the way the Chidushi Haran in Sanhedrin explains it, really, Me'ikir Adin, really it's permissible for a son to perform a medical procedure on the father. However, we're concerned, and if he was just doing 100% what needs to be done, it should be fine, in theory. But we're afraid he's going to draw a little bit too much blood, he's going to miss the vein, have to poke again. There's a lot of things that could be slightly, not the way they're supposed to go, and then the son is already getting into dangerous territory. And therefore, the Chachamim said, he should only work on his father if there's no one else to do so. If there's someone else to do it, Chacham said, don't do it. We're afraid you're going to do something that's not necessary. When you do something that's not necessary, then you're running into trouble. So you don't have to work on your father. Let someone else work on your father. But if there's no one else to work on your father, then you are allowed to work on your father. Then the Chachamim did not make their gzeirah. So this is something that's very relevant. Let's see. Siv Gimel. Hayat kotz tachuv la'aviv. There's a thorn stuck in dad. Lo yotzienu. The son may not take it out. Shema yavu lasa b'chabura. Because maybe he'll end up making a chabura. He'll make him bleed. V'chinu umakiz dam. If he's bloodletting his father. O rofe, or he's a doctor. Lo yakiz dam la'aviv. He may not take blood from his father. Lo yachtuch lo eiver. He may not do an amputation, God forbid. Even though his intention is for refuah. Now it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch does not differentiate whether there's someone else to do the job or not. And the Ramah throws in that chilek. How God notes us, Ramah b'med, Ramah muri, and the son can't work on the father. B'shiyesham acher lasos, when there's someone else to do the job. About ein sham acher lasos, if there's no one else to do the job. Lo mitzta'er, there's no other dentist around. The father's in agony. His tooth needs to be pulled. No dentist. The son's a dentist. So, if there's no one else around but the son, so he can work on the father and do whatever the father tells him to do, he's allowed to do. And here's where we're going to throw in the idea that the father can be mochel on the son giving him a wound. Not when the father wants to teach the son how to throw a punch. So, me'ikr din mutar, Chazal made gzeira, don't do it because maybe you'll do more than is necessary, but that gzeira is only when there's someone else to do the job. If there's no one else to do the job, then the son can do it. The Aruch HaShulchan throws in, what if the son is the top doctor? Everyone else is second best. I don't want second best working on me, I want the top. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, so that's good enough. Pesukim Metshuvos has a question, what if, I don't want to pay for it, my son can do it for free. There's other dentists in town, but I charge a lot of money. I want to go to my son. So that's not so simple. So the poskim seem to say that, if your mom is poor and you can't afford it, there might be room to be lenient. But Otherwise, one should not do so. I have a cousin who's a dentist, and his parents wanted him to work on that for free. And he's a Ben Torah, so he knew that that's highly problematic. So he has a chavrus who's also a dentist. So they made a deal. You work on my parents for free, and I'll work on your parents for free. That way, ever the best of all worlds. Okay, so that is Reish Mem Aleph, Sif Aleph, Beis, and Gimel.